Morning, good morning. Can you hear me now? Good morning, my name is Nathan Hirota. I'm one of the pastors, and welcome again if you're new. We're glad you're with us this morning. And like Aaron mentioned, we've been going through a series to start this year called Beautiful Limits, that God wants to give us life in His ways. And so we've been talking about how limits are actually a good thing. Less is more. And how we've looked at different areas regarding time, regarding gender and sexuality. And this morning, we're going to talk about money. And it's one of those areas where we deal with it a lot, but sometimes we just don't even really think about it a whole lot, or we don't think about what would God have to say about this area of money. And so this morning, we're going to look at what is the secret to being in God's limits when it comes to our finances, when it comes to money. And like Aaron shared the first week, just looking at David's heart in Psalm 16, that the Lord is my chosen portion. He is my cup. He holds my lot. He's drawn lines, and they've fallen for me in pleasant places. They're good. I enjoy the place that God's put me in. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. And so when it comes to the lines that God has drawn around us with money, with finances, there's just a lot there. And John said last week that a lot of the struggle in this room could be attached to our gender and our sexuality. I think likely number two would be money and finances. It's the number one reason why couples get divorced is money. And it's a huge stressor. And as we're going to see in a lot of different ways, our world is just going crazy in this department. You know, if these teachings are challenging you with the Beautiful Limit series, you're probably right where you should be, because our culture and our flesh, but specifically our culture, just cries out, no limits, right? There's movies called Limitless, and that's like exciting. There's not a movie that's like one man knowing his responsibilities and just taking it easy, does what he can and nothing more. There's no movies like that. It's one man going way beyond, and let's see how crazy this can get. You know, there's companies that's just like, Nike's slogan isn't, try hard, but don't kill yourself. Right? It's take it to the limit. No limits. Verizon doesn't say, the limited plan. Right? They're not like, we're the one company that will keep you at 1 gigabyte of data because it's good for you. That's not where our world goes. Our world goes to unlimited, unshackled, give me complete freedom to do whatever. And as I was thinking about this, really an analogy or maybe even an indicator for all of us is it's in our driving. It's in our driving. And why do I say it's in our driving? Because we have limit signs up all over this country. It tells you right here, here's your limit. Speed limit, 45, right? And there are limits when you're driving. You cannot drive down the road in reverse. You're limited. You can't drive off the road in city limits. You can't drive down the sidewalk. You're limited to the road. And you can't drive on the left. You're limited to the right. And actually, you're limited to a lane. You can't just say, I'm going to take up any space I want. You are limited when you drive. And if we borrow this analogy to life, God has given us limits. He says, I want you to enjoy life. I want you to get places. But I'm going to have you drive here. I'm going to have you drive here. In our flesh, in our culture, cry out, I see 45, but I feel 80. I see 45, but I feel 80. And I just want to get there as fast as I can. Why do I have this limit on me? And so with Travis's message regarding time, God said, here's your limit. This is how much energy you're going to have, how much time you're going to have. And you say, I kind of want to go 80, God. That's why you invented Monster Energy drinks, right? Is so I could go 80. God's like, no, there's life at 45. There's life at 45. And even more so, it's not just that we want to push those limits. We get into this point where we just say, is there even a limit? Should there be a limit? Shouldn't it just be every man to kind of decide for himself what they want to do and how they want to drive and how they want to live? And that's really where our culture's at this crossroads. This anarchy of whoever's the loudest voice in the room is the monster truck on the road getting to decide wherever they want to go. And God's saying, that's not going to work. I want your good. You see, up ahead, there's things you don't even know about. There's turns coming. And if you're flying 80, it's not going to go well for you. This is a road in the Himalayas in Nepal. And if you're thinking, I got no limits, I can go how I want, you're probably going to end up on the side of the cliff there. And so these limits, they're for our good. And I am a chief offender when it comes to driving and not knowing my limits. I feel like this is an area God's like, Nathan, just practically, it's okay. You can go 40 down Drake. You're going to be fine, right? It's going to be fine. And so this is what God has for us is limits. And they're for our good. They're for our neighbor's good. And they're going to get us to where we need to go in the end. Jesus spoke about two topics more than any other topics. It was eternity, heaven and hell, and money and finances. Now, a lot of what he spoke about when it came to money and finances were parables and trying to show this economy of the spiritual life. But nonetheless, he still talked quite a bit about money. And we would be foolish to think that how we were born and raised and what we were brought up in doesn't impact and affect how we start to think about money. And so I just want to encourage us to, even before we start today, to take a critical view. Where do I land on this chart? When I think about money, when I think about finances, you know, there's a standard of living that you probably grew up with, some richer, some poorer. And there's also maybe an attitude towards money that you had. Money is awesome. It's great. We should get it. Money is where all the bad guys got, and they're holding us down, and that's what makes everything corrupt. What was your attitude? So some of us in this room grew up richer and a pretty positive view towards wealth and money. We had a higher standard of living maybe, and maybe not as much need for tighter margins when it comes to our finances. Some of us in this room maybe grew up poor. We were pinching every month to make ends meet, and maybe a negative view. The people that keep asking me for all these bills and the people that have all that wealth, they're the bad guys. And somewhere in between is where a lot of us are at. This is huge in my own marriage. I grew up four kids in my family. I have three siblings and a single mom. And so we rented most of my whole life. Never really owned a house until I moved out of the house, which was awesome. And so we just moved around a lot. And there were months we couldn't even pay the electricity bill. And it wasn't this, I'm bitter, but it's just this is kind of how we live and where we were at. My wife's dad built houses for a living. He probably built over 30 houses. Now he does different work, and he built two of the houses that they lived in as they grew up. So you can imagine, between my wife and I, we need to have this discussion. What does living look like? What's our standard? What are we going to be shooting for? What's our expectations when it comes to this? We can't be so naive to think that how we grew up isn't going to affect when Jesus says money, Jesus says finances, how you store up treasure. It's going to be impacted by how we grew up. And so that's where we want to start this morning. And so have you ever taken a look at that for yourself? What's your default view? What's your default view? And when it comes to our default, our setting, I found that there's really only a few things that move us out of that setting. And the first is pain. Pain starts to come into our lives. So in this area, say maybe about health. We have this default view of what a healthy, normal life should look like, and we keep eating our 60-40s at Big Al's, and we keep doing what we've always done, and eventually the doctor says, you know, you're probably going to get some heart disease if you keep doing that. And you start to feel a pain, and you say, I guess my default view is going to have to change because pain is coming into my life, right? So pain starts to change us and move us into different areas. That one's very real. Another one is just outside pressures or outside reward systems that we set up, right? So a lot of us probably at our work have things that say, if you wear a Fitbit or if you do this number of activities, you'll get reduced medical things or a bonus or whatever it might be, individually and as a team. And so we say, well, there's not really a lot of pain, but I could get some discount here. Maybe there's something good for me. This reward can start to move me. Maybe I should wear a Fitbit. Maybe I should work out a little bit. I'll get a little bit of extra bonus at work. There's that. And the last one, which we're going to look at this morning, is a faith. And it's a trust in eternity and in what Jesus has given. Because pain will enter into our life, and there are rewards. But what is going to conquer?